Hi, I'm Tom Snedden, one of the co-founders of Supernova, and I'm here on Untalented by Unknown and Canva.
Tom, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Welcome to South by Southwest at Canva. This is going to be quick fire, the first three, okay? So I've got three questions for you. The first question is quite a strange one, so I want you to imagine that you're speaking to a child. Hello, okay. You are in a weird way.
Three of them, it's fine. Okay, it's not that hard.
Okay, fine. Well, daddy. explain what you do to a 14-year-old.
The internet's full of stuff.
Okay.
Largely crap and 6 out of 10. Our job is to try and make the stuff that brands produce, that creators produce, or publishers want to produce worth it, interesting, and makes you want more.
Wow. Tell me one thing that has helped to get you where you are quicker.
Two bits, not necessarily mutually exclusive. The power of no, I don't want to do that. That's not right for me. I don't think I want to be doing that right now. Mm. But also that positive curiosity of how and why and who for. And asking those two things within your lane allows you to go, this is who I want to be, and this is what I want to be better at. And those two things combined have stood me fairly well.
Wow. Bang on. You're good at this quick fire stuff. Let's talk money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What can a top earner in your industry look to earn?
It depends what you mean by earning. So one of the things that's great about Supernova, which started 18 months ago, is it's ours. It's our baby and we have a portion of that. Mm. But we didn't do it because we wanted the big fat salary and the big fat paycheck. We did it because how we want to do it, who we want to do it for, and what that would get us eventually is worth way more. So right now, six figures is a good salary. But I think the opportunity to own and build and grow and see what else that becomes is probably the more intoxicating number.
It's a good answer. I don't think we're open enough about money. I think you become an owner, because you want to eventually have a seven or eight figure exit down the line. So thank you for being clear and honest. I think in Britain, we're too quiet about money. Okay, we're moving into the main segment.
Hit me.
What moment made you realize that you were playing too small?
Oh, wow. Old story, but a goodie. So, back in the day, pre-COVID, so PC, I was fortunate enough to be working at Oakley in Sea Containers. And this tiny, tiny little app came along and said, oh, we've got a test brief, would you? And I'm like, it's exciting. They've got potential. They're called Musical.ly. Okay, fine, we'll take it. £30,000 test brief turned into a £2.5 million retainer, thanks to TikTok takeover. So wow. In the midst of that journey, I think we were a group of six and they were a team of four. And we spent hand in glove for about 18 months building up the monster that is TikTok all across EMEA. That was answering a 30K brief, but actually the thinking was, how does that then scale up into? And that was the kind of taskmaster moment where you think you finished one task.
Mm.
I go, maybe you should think bigger and how to do that. And I think to answer your question about playing small, I think it's the enemy of all creativity. Like asking what's the budget, what's the time frame, who am I here to impress, actually doesn't matter. We've come off the back of a couple of really exciting pitch wins at Supernova where purposely challenging the client in a positive manner to go, you are thinking too small. This has shelf life. This is worth more. I know this is a quick fire answer, but a big part for us is social is not a campaign on, campaign off. Mm. And actually programs of work allow clients to see the value of testing, learning, growing and scaling, as opposed to I've hit my number in 30 days. Shall we do more? Just not the right answer.
Great answer. On the back of that, what is the one question that you use when you are with a client that unlocks a bigger answer?
What does real success look like? So not the KPI, not the C-suite number, but what's the thing personally, professionally and creatively you want to achieve? Do you want to be recognized by the C-suite? Do you want to open a new revenue stream? Do you want to take ownership of a brand new whatever it may be? Mm. And I think increasingly the creator economy is open to that exploration. Yeah, sure, it's a bit of a wild west, but actually the opportunity to go, what does real success look like? Means it's not this siloed, oh, it's a piece of communications and a 20-day editorial calendar. It's going, this is a step towards better, bigger, smarter, braver, whatever it may be.
I love that. That's a brilliant one. Second question. What is something about success that nobody warned you about?
The pulsing left eye that I keep finding. That idea that you're just thinking about everything. You've got a to-do list done and then something twitches and you can't help but think, oh God, I haven't done all that and I haven't done all this and I haven't shared this. And actually the idea of over communication in a senior role is almost more important than the ability to do it.
Yeah.
Because if you can't bring people there, you're going to be a team of one fairly quickly. So this sense that actually you're no longer there to do, but you're there to lead. Lead equals sharing. Sharing is not this idea of, aren't I great and look what I've smashed. It's this us together, bigger, better. How do we do that? So yeah, the twitch is
the twitch is
what's coming quite hard this week.
Fair enough. Last one from this section. Finish this sentence. The moment I knew I was out of my depth as a leader was when
I needed to hire better people than me. That there are skills and services and mentalities and points of view which can't be answered alone. So hiring policies that allow for differentiation rather than copycat is absolutely a fundamental. We are a brilliantly weird bunch of people. We're ex-marketeers, ex-media guys, ex-publisher, ex-agency. Like, we are not trying to find five people say yes. It's kind of going, well, five people have lots of brilliant arguments, but all in the positive nature of bigger, better, braver. So that for me is really, really important.
I love that. Someone once told me, if you want to go fast, go on your own. If you want to go far, go with the team.
Have you watching The Lion King?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure my kids sing a song about that one.
In the famous words of Walt Disney. So, okay, the final section here, and these are more industry-based questions. Question number one, what infrastructure do creators need that no one is building yet?
Wow. There are three I really like. And they're not mine, so I'm going to happily name drop for other people's benefit. I really like how there is a move from creators as a cash cow into creators as a career spanning thing. So Rob Mayhew is on our talent roster. Brilliant guy, lots of fun. Self-admittedly, probably not the greatest, strongest account suit ever, but actually his understanding of that world has propelled him into all sorts of bigger and better. Mm. But what I like about Rob is his ability to see this as a career journey, where it's not, I want to be the funny sketch guy. It's, I want to be the funny sketch guy that allows me to become a full-time creator, that allows me to explore services and products that are linked, but not necessarily my bread and butter. Yeah. And I think to kind of parallel that is the 5 to 9 that Billion Dollar Boy have launched, this idea that actually, how do we foster creativity in new and interesting ways, where it's not the A to B of, here's a brief, the brand wants to sponsor you for paid ad. It's actually going, what do you want to make? What do you want to create? What do you want to contribute? We used to always talk about the best briefs come where it's the frame, but the blank in the middle is left up to the creator. Mm. I think increasingly it's the frame and a ladder to get them where they want to. So that near and now and far mentality of what a creator could and should be, as opposed to just answer the brief, which is probably the most limiting thing you could tell a creator.
I love that. And I didn't think about that, the frame. When did you last feel like we're actually going to change the game here?
Oh, wow. More recently, there was a conversation with a really, really smart guy, which starts with data. I'm not a data guy. I love waxing lyrical about what could be, what it should be, and then you get brought down to back to life. And what's so great talking about data is it's there in ones and zeros. Mm. It doesn't matter how you cut it, and you can cut it far too many ways. But this idea that actually you could be sharing things that no one else has shared before is really exciting. Mm. And this idea, therefore, that actually there are really clever ways in which you can monitor trends before trends happen. And we're in the process of building a tool where we can predict that actually there is a scalability to search, both in social and in kind of native search platforms, where the velocity over a time frame and the over-indexing versus kind of secondary attributes allow you to go to, this will tell you the top 50 things you need to make if you want to own that niche, if you want to dominate this category, if you want to excel in growth, likes, shares, comments. That for us is going to be amazing. So our hope is in the next 6 months, we can unleash that and allow creators and brands to kind of tap into the better version of what they could and should be.
Love. Last question. Okay. What is one myth you'd love to debunk about how creators make money?
It kills the romance, but it's this idea that they got lucky.
Mm.
Again, there are so many brilliant creators, and I think that the hotbed of having so much time on our own in the years we can't now talk about just allowed so many people to explore other avenues and other kind of creative things that they wanted to express. But I really hate the idea that creators got lucky. They didn't get lucky. They had a sense of ownership and a personality and a drive to make it happen. It's like the Mark Rothko effect of every man and his dog going, I could have done that. I could have painted that. Yeah. You couldn't because you didn't. And actually that step of bravery, of putting yourself out there, of not necessarily being vulnerable, but at least exploring who you are and what you want to stand for, I think is way more captivating than the I got lucky and on one viral TikTok. It's just not true. You did it. That's not luck.
Okay, this is, again, it's everything's been quick fire, so I'm not worried here. What is the weirdest thing that you've used ChatGPT for?
So, a proud father of three. Okay. And as much as possible, I totally buy into the right thing at the right time and not necessarily exposing them too much too soon. But I'm utterly obsessed by an app called Suno, which is a kind of AI music creator. Like, it's got a million lawsuits, presumably in the wings, because it can literally make anything of any genre of any type.
Wow.
But what it can now do is you can go, I want this beat, I want this kind of sound, these are my lyrics, or please can you make me some lyrics for X, Y, and Z? And my eldest, Oscar, who turned 11, I really wanted to make him a kick-ass song for him using this thing. But not only did I do it, I morphed his voice so it became the Oscar of
what?
Utterly unbelievable. Like, it's one of the greatest apps of all time.
Suno, S-U-N-O.
Yeah, Suno.ai, and it's too much fun and a black hole for everyone who
that is, you ruined my week now. That's all I'm going to be doing is making songs. Holy shit. Firstly, thank you so much.
All good.
And secondly, Tom, you've absolutely smashed this. It's bravo.
My first.
Thanks, okay. Man.